Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vadadi.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
All right, I'm recording. How you doing, Nima?
Recording. Like, yeah. As in we're on the show now.
Yeah, like this is the show. Like, you got to be brilliant. I know you just yawned, but I didn't record that, so no one knows you yawned.
Okay, fair enough. We're doing the cast early today because it's me and my wife's second wedding anniversary tomorrow, Tuesday. So
happy anniversary.
Yay us. Yeah.
Yeah. And DJ said to say happy anniversary. I'd say second anniversary is like you're going to do it. You know, I mean, most small businesses fail in the first year.
You know, when we first got married, that was kind of the point.
Most marriages that fail in less than 2 years.
Really?
So you're happy to be stuck with each other for the rest of your lives.
Yeah. For the most part, I would say so.
Have some babies and, you know, have some sons and name one of them Michael and one of them Dean.
Yeah. The best thing is she gets it. Like, I don't have to... Wait, hold on. I missed that. Did you say name my kids Michael and Dean?
Yeah.
Yeah, not
good. I laughed. It's okay. I laughed. You're going to name them Ahmed and...
No. I always want to mix names together. Like, I don't know, Chris Rian instead of Chris and Brian. Stuff not that dumb, but I can't think of any right now. Like, but my wife hates the baby names I come up with.
You mean mix them like Charlie...
like you didn't really get away, like take two names that aren't...
Charlie Osama Nevadi? This is my fifth podcast in 5 days, man.
Yeah. Sucks for you.
So speaking of Jesus was a terrorist, that's the name of this episode.
Now, for the theists out there or the Christians, why don't you go ahead and explain that? Because it's don't get your panties in a wad just yet. We mean something different by it.
Mama Liberty and I were talking one time, and I said something to her, which she kind of put into better terms and put in the Guns and Weed movie. She said, and she's a Christian, she said, Jesus was very definitely killed by the government for the same reasons they kill us now, because we're not, I think it was something like, because we're not willing to obey or comply or something.
Right. And I wanted you to specifically ask her something to that effect, and she put it in such beautiful words. But it's so true. The Roman government and the powers that be considered Jesus a terrorist. They looked at Jesus the way Bill Clinton looked at David Koresh.
Yeah. And you know...
Go ahead.
I thought of it, but I guess you thought of it. So now that you
established but I didn't even
that
think
you
of
thought
it,
of it, I'll say been, that... Nah, yeah, Dead Kennedy ahead. Said it in 1979, man.
Yeah, 80. It wasn't me. It was Jello Biafra.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't that early. It was Jello Biafra, after Dead Kennedys broke up, did a bunch of records with a bunch of different bands. No Means No, Ministry. The one he did with No Means No, they have a song called Jesus Was a Terrorist. And it starts with explaining... It doesn't really ever say anything bad about Jesus, but it says that Jesus, basically that Jesus was considered a terrorist by the Romans and put to death for that. And then it talks about how Christians act like terrorists by trying to force horrible ideas on the world. Not all Christians, but, you know, the ones he doesn't like. And I'm not trying to soft pedal it. He's a lot more critical of all Christians than I am, but
right.
It's pretty raging. It's a good song.
But it's establishment Christians too. It's the moral majority, quote unquote, or the Christian right that I think he'd be attacking. Oh, he's attacking here, and I would say rightly so.
He's attacking by name, I think, in there somewhere.
Well, yeah. If Jesus saw Pat Robertson, what do you think he'd say? Is one of the lines.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I kind of was, you know, the thing that reminded me of that was I saw this thing today about how the U.S. government took down a few hundred websites around the world with no due process, just seized them like they seized, you know, cars for having a joint in a drug bust.
Yeah.
For, you know, for supposedly selling, quote, counterfeit goods, unquote. But the thing is, I would be willing to bet, and it'd be hard to ever know, but I'd be willing to bet that there's at least one site out of that 150 or 160 or whatever that they took down. It was less than 200, but that was just today, Cyber Monday, which is the biggest shopping day in the year on the internet. So they picked today to do it. You know, it's the cyber equivalent, the web equivalent of Black Friday. It's 2 days later, 3 days later. Right. So I would be willing to bet that there's at least one or two sites out of that number that weren't selling so-called counterfeit goods and either were selling goods that, you know, there was no reason to take them down under this rule, or they might have slipped a couple sites in there that they considered critical of our
that they just
our
didn't
government.
Like
the government. I can't even say it. Our government, the government. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if they did all of those and threw Freedom Fiends in there, it's like, who would even know?
You know? Right. Right. The lead would be buried. Yeah, man. And it kind of blew my mind when I saw the headline, but, luckily, in the second paragraph in the Hill article, they clarify that this is the third straight year that the government has seized websites on Cyber Monday. So it's a holiday for the goons, too. They get to go and get their hands dirty and do lots of evil on Cyber Monday.
Not a holiday day off. They should take the day off every day. But
oh, I wish. No, it's not a holiday, but it's a very fun day for them. They live for it, I bet. And the other thing is, okay, even if these are counterfeit goods, I don't really feel like we should entrust the government to be the consumer protection. A lot of statists always say, well, without the government, how would consumers be protected? But I think Ben Stone put it very well the other day when he said, why should you be protected from people you can just say no to? I mean, literally, you can just say, no, I don't want your product, or no, I think that product's counterfeit. And also, okay, yeah, there are little old ladies that are dumb and don't know how to use the internet, but you know, that doesn't mean that the government has to ruin it for the rest of us, right? I mean, most of us can tell when a product's going to be counterfeit. Most of us have websites that we trust, and if we do buy something on a website that is shady and we get a counterfeit good, we complain about it on Yelp. We complain about it to the company. If the company doesn't make it right, we stop using them, and eventually they go out of business. And you may be out some money, but I bet you're not out 50% of your income for paying for this massive government apparatus.
Or 150% of your income, you know, because they take everything you have and then fine you or put you in jail. You know, 1,500% of your income. Right. 15,000.
Right. Just up, away, baby.
Reasonably. I mean, it could be 1.5 million% of your income. I mean, think about like someone who's
taking away income from you. You're out $100 because you got a shitty product, or you're out, you know, over your lifetime,
you mean
half of your income.
A blurgy product. Blurgy. We're not cussing.
A blurgy product, right. Yeah. I mean, for the consumer is out, not the person who got gooned and got their website shut down.
Actually, a lot of people that buy counterfeit goods, so-called counterfeit, I would say that's counterfeit because, I mean, I think that's kind of a fraud issue, and I think in LibPair, fraud would be a crime. You know,
yeah.
But I would say that I mean, I do know that a lot of people actually buy counterfeit goods knowing they're counterfeit to try to
on
fool
purpose.
Their friends. What?
Yeah. Or because they're cheaper on purpose.
Yeah. Because like, you there's- know, the Pravda, I mean, Pravda bag, the Prada bag, you know, some hipster chick. I know a hipster chick in Hollywood who could never afford one of those. And she bought a knockoff for a tenth of the price that, you know, will pass in a dark club. So she could be cool.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we have a street in Houston. Oh, man. I forget the name of it now.
Fraud Street?
No, it starts with the H. I forget the name of it, but we used to go to it in high school, and you get cheap knockoff stuff because it's so much cheaper than going to Macy's. And, you know, when you're a teenager, you don't have a whole lot of money unless, you know, your parents are rich.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we'd go down to the cheap street and buy all the cheap stuff, and we wanted to. We thought it was an amazing thing that you could go and do that.
And a lot of that stuff could be dealt with education and with searching things on the internet if the government wasn't shutting down the internet so much. Like, the microphone that I'm using, the Shure Beta 57A, is really commonly counterfeited by Chinese knockoff companies because, I mean, it's not even an expensive item. It's like $130, but it's so in demand. And Shure SM58s and 57s also, which are, you know, $100, are commonly counterfeited. Mm-hmm. And the counterfeits don't sound as good. And you can actually tell. I linked a couple sites on my review of this mic of how to tell a counterfeit from a real one.
Right. And so you, as the consumer, it really is up to you, because counterfeits get through even if you have a massive police state. They're going to happen anyway. The state can't stop the market completely, although they would try. So it's really up to the consumer,
square,
no matter what.
So
and so why does the consumer, who actually takes the responsibility seriously and will do the things to check on your microphone or your handbag or whatever to make sure that it's not counterfeit before you buy it, all of the responsible consumers, why should they be penalized monetarily by having to pay taxes towards the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement?
And this could really all be taken care of in the market. There, I used your term.
Yeah, there you go.
In the market.
The market would take care of it.
Here's how, man. Using computer encryption, anybody can generate a secure certificate that proves they are the person. Like, it's used all the time in encryption when you're talking to somebody to know who you're talking to. You know, the president uses it to talk to his warmonger advisors. You know, when you buy something on Amazon and you see the HTTPS instead of the HTTP, you're using one of those encrypted certificates without knowing it. When you, you know, when you and I are talking, chatting on Mumble, we're using it. Anybody can do that. And it can not only be used for secure encrypted conversations, it can be used to prove that someone is who they say they are. Like, I could right now generate a certificate and send it to you, and you could check it against my public keys, and you would absolutely know that that came from me, and there's no way to fake that. So that could be used, for instance, to, you know, you could make a hologram, or you could make a QC code that you scan with your, I mean, I don't know the technology of how to do it, but it could be done to where, like, when you buy the Cartier watch, it has a little laser inscription in it with something that can't be reproduced by somebody else in the same way. Yep. And you scan your smartphone over it, and it says, yeah, this is the real deal.
Right. So I guess somebody arguing against this would say, well, this is all online stuff, so it looks not
counterfeit. It could be done online.
It
could be done online easier than in person.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, man. I just... It seems ridiculous. And then it also seems ridiculous how they come out and the media covers it, and they just make it sound like the goons are doing something that could never be done without the goons, that is done so well by them. And they try to make them sound like such good guys. The goons here from ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they say, you know, this is not just an American problem, it's a global one, and it's a fight we must win. But, I mean, you guys aren't really fighting from any sort of good moral standpoint, because you don't exist as a part of a market transaction.
They also,
ICE
is
a group of thieves.
Even in their own world, under their own laws, they don't have the legal right to do that in other countries.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a gray area, and I bet they'd argue because they're the customs enforcement. So
yeah,
that's sort of their job.
They have to go across borders. And it sounds to me like they didn't issue legal documents to these other countries. They called up and said, hey, buddy, do us a solid, and we'll return the favor and bust some of your people for something that's not a crime. Well, this is a crime. This is a real crime. But, you know, it also, there's no due process, and some of these sites were American, and in America, under the law, you're supposed to have due process before anything's, you know, can be, well, there's no way to try, there's no process in place for trying to to challenge this and remediate it and say, hey, no, everything was authorized on my site, or yep. we weren't even selling anything on our site and you took it down anyway in this flood of, you know.
Yep. As we like to say, there's nobody's ass you can kick.
Yeah. I mean, if you
got gooned, you're just screwed.
If somebody's typing in a list of the 150 websites they're going to have taken down, what if they typed a wrong letter? You know, what if there's a site called the Freedom Fiends who are selling Cartier mm-hmm. knockoff watches? I'm not saying there is, but if there were, and they mistyped it and typed fiends and took down our site.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff is not far-fetched. I mean, the SWAT team will raid houses by getting the address wrong. Drug police will do the same thing. I guess this is fictional, but I think it might be based on a true story. Have you ever read the book House of Sand and Fog?
Mm-mm.
Basically, they take this family's house because of it's a tax seizure, but actually the form was filled out wrong. Like, it's the wrong house, and it becomes this horrible situation where the old owners try to get the house back, and it ends in, you know, murder and death, and the villain the whole time is the state, because they screwed everybody over and they sent the goons to take the house and sell it at a tax auction. And the person who bought the house, they don't feel like they did anything wrong. They bought a house at an auction. They got a good deal on a house. And the person who lost the house obviously didn't do anything wrong. They lost it by mistake. But the two people that are adversarial are the person who's the new owner of the house and the person who's the old owner of the house.
Yeah, because whereas the government came between them. Yeah.
The government came between them and screwed everything up.
Good recommendation. Is it a movie?
Yeah, it's also a movie, and there's an ethnic tie for me as well. I think the family who used to own, no, the family that bought it at the auction is an Iranian family, and it's kind of an interesting cultural thing too. Although the guy is kind of a goon, he left because he was a general in the Air Force of the Shah, and he left after the revolution, so he was a bad guy too.
Okay, I just added that to my Netflix queue. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
I haven't seen the movie, but it does have, I believe it has Jennifer Connelly as the ingenue, and she's hot. So.
And I would say, ooh, yeah, but I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I don't find her that foxy. She's too
really. Saw her Bush in Requiem for a Dream, man.
I don't like
nice.
Bush, man. I don't like twisted junkie gals. I've known too many of them to think they're sexy.
I kind of do when they're Jennifer Connelly and she goes ass to ass.
You know, my problem with her, I think, is that she looks too waspy, if that's possible. I mean, I'm like, if you look in the dictionary under wasp, there's a picture of me, but she just looks too, she looks like, no matter what role she's in, she reminds me of like rich girls in my town that wouldn't talk to me when I was a teenager.
Mm. Mm.
Okay. Speaking of my town, I've been chatting with that guy, Ron, from my town, who's a total Fiend fan. He's probably the only one in that county or even New York State. I don't know, but
nice,
cool guy. I've been chatting on Skype and stuff with him.
Cool, cool. Yeah.
Yep.
You've been chatting with a few of our fans. We got a fan who's a sound guy or a former sound guy that's really cool. He likes everything about our cast. He's a sound guy, so he likes it when we talk about gear. He used to deliver pizzas on Rio Grande at the Gumby's on Rio Grande, which is like right next to where I work, the same delivery area. So he's got that whole history, and now he's into food. I guess he lives in Houston-ish and makes organic cheese from goats.
I know, that's awesome. And he used to do live sound touring with the Butthole Surfers and with Miranda. What's her last name?
God, Lambert.
Lambert, yeah, from American Idol. Yeah. So he's
no,
done...
I think it was like Nashville Star. It was like the country American Idol.
So he's done sound in both ends of the trough, shall we say?
Yeah, the market sound and the Stato sound.
Yeah, well, they both
because
have
didn't,
little...
didn't used to mic the presidents when they would come to town or something.
Yeah,
like
he's done that,
that
too. Yeah, well, I was thinking the both ends of the trough of musical styles of a, you know, shiny, shimmery, chick, country, modern pop singer, and the Butthole Surfers. I mean, the Butthole Surfers are like the band that dare not speak its name. When they played, they'd usually put like the BU asterisk, 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 LE Surfers, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I remember Gibby Haynes, the singer of the band, saying, like, I don't know why everyone has a problem with it. My 78-year-old grandma can say the name of my band.
Yeah, Butthole's not that bad. But they're both, the Butthole Surfers and Miranda Lambert are white Texans with long hair, so they're kind of similar, too.
The Butthole Surfers kind of have some country influence, you know, like country put through a cyclone.
They're cool, yeah, country, kind of industrial, too, and rapish. Rapish?
Rapish, yeah.
Rapish. Yeah.
So the way we decided to call this Jesus Was a Terrorist was I sent you this link about ICE freezing out all these websites, and your response was Jesus Christ, like like half spelled
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
and I said, yeah, like I said, yeah, him too. And then I said, you know, they'd probably arrest him these days too. And then I remembered the Jello Biafra and No Means No song, Jesus Was a Terrorist, and sent it to you. And then I went on this went down this little hole of like, listening to Dead Kennedy songs. I'm going to link some of them on the cast. One is California Uber Alice, which was as true now as in 1979. I mean, it talks about, like, you know, the suede denim secret police sending you off to a concentration camp and breaking in your door, like 1984.
Killing your uncool niece with organic poison gas.
Organic poison gas. Yeah, it was kind of like... He didn't buy the California hippie politician. You know, it was about Jerry Brown, who later went on to be, what, mayor of Oakland twice and governor once or something. So at least Jello hated Democrats almost as much as Republicans. Although the follow-up to that song, which has different words, some different words in the same music, is called We've Got a Bigger Problem Now, and it's about Reagan. And it talks about, like, you know, die on our brand new poison gas, El Salvador or Afghanistan. You know, I think, like, Afghanistan, wait, as true now again as it was then, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
1979, 33 years ago. 33 was the age of Jesus when he was killed, too. Is there a connection? Is it all connected, man?
I don't know. If you were Alex Jones, you would say there was, but you're not. So
I'm
don't.
Sure not, man. He's a Texan with short hair. He probably likes country music.
Yeah, I don't know what he likes. I don't know what he'd be into.
We'll speculate.
A hard cat to read.
We'll speculate after we go sell some. Blurg.
Worms.
Some non-counterfeit blurg.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for four buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Welcome to 1984. Are you ready for the Third World War? You too will meet the secret police. They'll draft you and they'll jail your niece. You want to take a line here? You got it?
What song?
Last thing I sent you. It's on the pigeons.
Yeah.
I just didn't time that well.
Don't forget our house special. It's called a Tricky Dicky Screwdriver. It's got one part Jack Daniels, two parts purple Kool-Aid, and a jigger of formaldehyde from the jar where Hitler's brain is. We got it in the back storeroom.
Yep. And going back up higher, you'll go quietly to boot camp. They'll shoot you dead, make you a man. Don't worry, it's for a cause. Feeding global corporations claws.
Die on our brand new poison gas, El Salvador or Afghanistan, making money for President Reagan and all the friends of President Reagan.
Yeah. And friends of President Reagan, Nancy Reagan did recently say, just get over it. Obama won. Or was that Barbara Bush? They're interchangeable.
That was Barbara Bush, but yeah, same person.
Same person.
Old person.
You know, something that's not mentioned in that movie Ray, about Ray Charles, is that he endorsed Ronald Reagan and sang at his inauguration. They
Who
somehow
did?
Convenient Ray Charles. They just conveniently missed that in that
Why?
I don't know. He also shilled for Pepsi before Michael Jackson did. He was like the corporate sponsor.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was searching for reviews of it to find out more about the movie instead of just going to Wikipedia. And I found a pretty well-written review on the International Socialist Workers website, you know, some commie website.
Yeah.
And they liked the movie, but they pointed out that, you know, he did shill for Reagan and Pepsi later. I don't have a problem with Pepsi. I have a problem with any politician.
Did he shill for Reagan campaigning Reagan, like pre-presidential Reagan?
This implied that he did. I didn't check it all out.
Because even Ron Paul did that.
Did what? Sang at his inauguration?
No, shilled for Reagan before Reagan was president.
Yeah, well, inauguration, you don't really know what someone's going to do yet if you're trusting them to be...
I mean,
good.
Now we know. Now we know they're going to do a bunch of horrible stuff no matter what they say. I would like to think people should have known that back then when Reagan was elected, but apparently people didn't.
You know, one of the really interesting complaints in the International Socialist Worker Newsletter's review of the movie Ray, about Ray Charles, was they complained that they said it's a really well-made movie in a really false genre, the genre of celebrating the American individual's achievement. Which makes sense that socialists wouldn't like that. You didn't build that, Ray Charles. You didn't build that music.
But what Reagan actually did was, you know, horrible things. He increased the government.
I'm not talking about Reagan.
Who are you talking about now?
Oh, come on, man. I said the International Socialist Workers Union newsletter was complaining about the movie Ray because the style of the movie and the storytelling was that old thing of celebrating American individual exceptionalism and the struggle of one person building himself up from nothing to something.
Got it.
And socialists apparently had a problem with that.
Of course
you didn't build that. We all built your music, Ray Charles.
Yeah. It's people who have no self-esteem and are weak on themselves and don't have any confidence that they could ever achieve something.
They want a gang.
They like to hate. They're the definition of haters. They don't want anybody else. They're crabs, right? They want to pull the other crabs that are trying to get out of the bucket back into the bucket.
Nice Boondocks.
It's a Boondocks reference.
Yeah.
And keep it on that theme. And the reason I said Reagan is I was busy reading. I think I always wanted to mention this song on the cast, but I don't think I have yet. Killer Mike has a song called Reagan. And the last four words of it are, I'm glad Reagan's dead. And there's a nice little chunk here about the war on drugs and Reagan that I'd like to, since we're on a little lyrical tip.
Yeah, man.
All right. He says, they declared the war on drugs like a war on terror, but what it really did was let police terrorize whoever, but mostly black boys. They would call us niggers and lay us on our belly while their fingers on their triggers. Their boots was on our head, the dogs was on our crotches, and they would beat us up if we had diamonds on our watches, and they would take our drugs and money as they pick our pockets. I guess that's the privilege of policing for some profit.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. So, Dead Kennedys rule. And there should be more hip hop like that that complains about the government. That really, I really want there to be more stuff that's black Democrats or black people calling the Democrat president a terrorist. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Killer Mike goes on to rag on Obama too. He says, just like the Bushes, Clinton, and Obama. Just another talking head telling lies on the teleprompter. If you don't believe the theory, then argue with this logic. Why did Reagan and Obama both go after Gaddafi? We invaded sovereign soil, going after oil, taking countries as a hobby paid for by the oil lobby. Same as in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Ahmadinejad said they come in for Iran. They only love the rich and how they loathe the poor. If I say any more, they might be at my door. Shh. Who the fuck is that staring at my window doing that surveillance on Mr. Michael Render? I'm dropping off the grid before they pump the lead. I'll leave you with four words. I'm glad Reagan dead.
Wow. Which president did he name along with Reagan in there?
Bush and Obama.
Bush and Obama.
Bush, Clinton, and Obama. So he even gets Clinton in there.
What's this guy? Dead Mike? No, don't Dead Mike.
Killer Mike. Yeah, he used to. Although there's a rich tradition for this because he used to rap with Outkast and the Dungeon Family, and the Dungeon Family also included Goody Mob, which had CeeLo in it, which has. They came out with a song really early. It was a Dirty South. It's called Who's That Peeking in My Window? Power. I think it was called Cell Therapy, but it's all about the New World Order and watching out for it and not trusting any of them.
Now, didn't some rappers really kind of lose credibility for getting really what was considered conspiracy theory with talking about New World Order stuff? And one in particular. I can't think who it was, but it's somebody big.
Really, really. I don't know. There's the controversy now that I feel like is kind of different and throws people off. But some people like to say that Jay-Z and Kanye West and the people they rap with now are like some part of the Illuminati, and that's the reason they're so rich and powerful. And I think it's just kind of nonsense.
I'm reading something. Hip Hop's Obsession with the Illuminati on HipHopDX.com.
Yeah, so I think it's just haters who are like, how the hell does Jay-Z have more money than anybody else in the world? Well, because he's a dope rapper and he's a good businessman is what I would say. I don't really think there's an Illuminati connection.
You don't think he's drinking lizard blood with the nine Jews who run the world? Or whatever. No. I'm making that up. But
I don't think there are nine Jews who run the world. I think, unfortunately, Jay-Z is too close to the establishment for my taste because he's always on Obama's dick riding, you know, but I don't think it is an Illuminati.
No, there's not nine Jews who run the world. There's three Jews, three WASPs, and three Arabs who run the world. And they all sit around and drink beer and decide who's going to be president and king.
I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. I go back to Ben Quaker's whole thing on if you're an anarchist and you're a libertarian, you don't believe that central planning can actually ever work and that central planning can't run the world or control the world. So why would you think that there would be a small group of Illuminati that is powerful enough to make all these decisions? Because that's antithetical to the theory that central planning doesn't work.
Did you hear the secession party in Spain won a few seats in Congress there?
That seems like fucking for virginity, doesn't it?
It does.
We're the secession party. Now elect us to the National Congress.
Yeah, which just means there'll be more yelling in Congress, which is cool. Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's like we had Arab Spring. Now are we going to have secessionist winter?
Yeah, I hope so.
It's happening in other countries too.
Something's got to give in Europe, man. I mean, that union is not going to stand. And I wonder how liberals and statists here who are Lincoln lickers will see the collapse of the union in Europe. I wonder if they'll be like, well, the union is the ultimate. You must be a union.
No, man. They probably think that the separatists in Spain should be able to secede. Like, well, of course, anybody should be able to do that. But not
they're just that hypocritical.
Not in America. Yeah.
I just never understood. Even when I was a kid, I never understood why being a union was such a good thing. And I would really love somebody to try to explain to me why why is there a value judgment in a union? I don't understand why having some kind of larger grouping of political entities is better than having a smaller grouping of political entities. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. When I was a kid, I didn't understand why you said indivisible. Like, that seems kind of creepy to me. Like, you can't ever stop being friends with the people who control you. Indivisible? What the hell is that?
It's kind of like a cancer. The Pledge of Allegiance? It's a cancer that's incurable but doesn't kill you necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, seems like indivisible is a bad
thing. It's like having a Siamese twin that doesn't have a brain that just saps your energy, but you can't have it removed because it'll kill you.
Because you'll die? Yeah. But it's not even like that. I wish it was like that and that we actually needed to be in a union, and because then at least there could be some justification for not getting rid of it. But in reality, it's more like the Siamese twin. Yeah, you could remove it. And have a doctor surgically take the two twins apart, but your other twin will be so vengeful that you did it that they'll go murder you.
Yeah, exactly. So back to intellectual property, which is where we started from here, and then we'll go back to governments if you want. I got some thoughts. Right.
Sure.
I wrote this post about why we do Creative Commons. Did you get a chance to take a look at it?
Yeah, I did. We did cover that.
It's just a beef between me and another guy, which I should clarify it more, like put it at the top. Here's my thoughts and then say how we got into it, because you kind of have to read this whole beef to get into it. Mm-hmm,
I think we set people up during the live show. We were explaining what Creative Commons is, why we use it.
Yeah, but I try to get stuff to work free on its own. I mean, there's probably somebody somewhere who's on dial-up, who's reading The Fiend's blog, who's never heard our podcast.
Yep, true that. So, that's why we have the blog and the podcast. So
I posted that blog post. I posted a link to it on Reddit, on the anarcho-capitalist subreddit, and got, you know, some likes on it, but got one really cogent question, which is someone named Crux9 said, what are you going to do if somebody infringes on the terms of Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license? That's an honest, this is my honest question. And, he had a reply. I'm going to have you read it, and then I want to comment on whether or not you co-sign all of this. And I just sent it to you. It's long. I just sent it to you on the Gumbles.
This is his reply?
That's my reply. Okay. We could take it. We could break it up. Where there's spaces, I'll jump in. So you start.
Okay. No, I think this is your reply, so I'm not reading your reply, right?
No, this is my reply. I want you to read my reply with me.
Okay, sure.
Man, we're having coordination problems today. Okay, We are.
Because I feel weird reading your words when you're right there.
All right, I'll read it. I'll read it.
Okay.
I replied, you have to understand, I'm a guy who sells stuff, but also bootlegs it myself. All of our stuff is on BitTorrent by our own hand, so it's pretty hard to actually infringe, LOL.
Yeah.
But there are...
Go ahead.
But there are cases in life where I'd use the courts because there's a monopoly. It's like saying, hey, you can't use the roads. You're an anarchist to tell me otherwise. But using courts is a last resort for me for a lot of reasons. In most cases where someone clearly infringed, quote unquote, I'd probably make fun of them. But it depends. I'd be far, far, far less likely to sue than most people. Name an infringement and I'll tell you what I do. For example, if some guy used a bit of our Guns and Weed movie in his own movie and didn't credit us, we'd probably not even mention it to him and just mention it on our podcast and thank him and say, hey, next time we'd love a line in the end credits of the website. Yep. But if ABC National News used some of it in an anti-gun or anti-pot news piece and did so without credit, I'd probably pay a lawyer a few bucks to send them an invoice at standard industry rates and then make fun of them on the podcast. If someone omitted attribution, it wouldn't be the same issue as if someone fraudulently and intentionally claimed our whole work unedited as their work. That would be fraud even in a free market. Let's say a market. would be fraud even in the market. If large numbers of people were actually believing them, we'd do our best to use our internet presence to show that they're lying. That would probably work. If it didn't, and they were also making a boatload of money, I'd start with a cease and desist lawyer letter and possibly work up to legal action. Though part of the reason I'd consider that a last resort is less about the moral issues, again, because the courts have a monopoly, so there's no other legal recourse in our society, and more about how I have people work in my family who work in law, so I know what a nightmare it is to actually sue someone. Often, only the lawyers win. Most people don't know that and yell, "I'm going to sue you," all the time, but never do once they start to try. No lawyer would take something like this on contingency. You'd have to pay up front. You'd not likely win. And even if you do win, and I have win in quotes, you'd more likely spend more on a lawyer than you'd recover, all the while feeling furious for years or months, which is what happens to people who sue, regardless of which side of the suit they're on. I can't think of types of things other than these that I'd consider infringement. If you can, lay it on me and I'll give you my thoughts on what I'd do.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good answer. I mean, basically you're saying, well, there's nothing anybody could do that would really harm us here that we couldn't handle ourselves, is there?
No, and the thing about, like, I'd send an invoice to a major media company if they used it without commenting on, you know, without attribution, and use it in a derogatory fashion, which is covered somewhat in the moral rights part of the Creative Commons license that we use. I probably would do that because they exist in a system of money, and I actually got that idea.
You'd have to speak to them in their language,
right? I actually got that idea from Ian Mackay from Fugazi Discord Records, who's someone I respect a lot. Who basically, if you're on his team or his side or believe somewhat what he does, which I do, you know, about DIY art and about doing things for art, not for commerce, but he makes a living at commerce, you know, at making art and getting it out there. You know, I called him up and I said, "Hey, I want to interview you for the movie." And he's like, "Cool." And I called him up and said, "Hey, I want to use a couple of your songs in the movie." And he said, "Cool." There was never any, you know, "You'll owe us money" or anything like that. It just, yeah, go ahead and use it. And he knows that DVD sold a lot of copies, and he's never come to me and said, "Hey, you made a bunch of money. Give me $200. You know, never.
Yeah.
Whereas people who, like, were completely unknown who were in that movie and signed release forms later were like, "Hey, you're making money on that. Give me money," which is how it usually works. The lowliest are the ones
even
who
pitch
the most.
Even though they signed a release form.
Right, right. Yeah. They were like, "Well, I know I signed that, but now I want some money." So, and he does that a lot. His music's in a lot of indie movies. You know, people wrote him and they were cool, and he said, "Yeah, go ahead." Not even, there's no Creative Commons, there's no copyright. Now, he actually, I mean, they've been doing this for like 25 years. They don't put copyright notices on their records. They're literally not copyrighted, which doesn't have a legal framework the way that what we're doing does. So it's a gray area if you try to enforce anything. What we did, some individual bands on his label put copyright notices on the records, but his stuff, he doesn't put it on, and the label doesn't put it on, and they don't even have contracts with bands. It's all handshake, and no band has ever sued them, and everyone's been happy to work with them. But they used, you know, and some, like, some really popular indie movies have used footage of them playing back in the day, like that movie American Hardcore. There's a couple other punk rock movies that made a crap load more money than my movie made that he's in. My movie was one of the first movies he was in, but or probably, I think, the first, maybe, or the first documentary about indie art. Now there's like 20 of them. And so he never went after people for money for that. But Behind the Music, VH1, used an extended clip of them, of like a minute of them playing live one of their songs on one of those, like, you know, it was like top 100 bands of all times. And I would probably say, you know, that'd be okay, and I wouldn't ask for money. Like, it's an honor to be in there and considered one of the top 100 bands of all times, even by friggin' VH1. But he was really upset about it, and, you know, had a lawyer send them and got money from them. Like, this, not a lot, like whatever standard rate they would pay a videographer and a band for using their stuff. Now, another thing that they went after someone for legal action was Nike did an ad campaign that was in national magazines that was literally exactly one of their record covers recreated. It was the record Minor Threat, and it was a picture of a guy with a shaved head wearing jack boots, or what do you call them? Doc Martens, like kind of silhouetted, mm-hmm. high contrast, black and white, but turned blue and white. And it said Minor Threat. That was the cover of one of the early records. Nike, about 5 years ago, which is about 20 years after that record came out, did an ad campaign that was the same thing, but it was a guy wearing Nikes, and it said like Nike Threat or something like that. And he was livid. And I do believe he, I don't know, I don't think sued them, but threatened to sue them and got some money out of them and got them really? To stop doing it and donated the money to some charity.
See, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like Nike's would be in the right to do something like that. I didn't see any wrong with that. Do you?
I don't think I really do. I think I'd want to get a bunch of sneakers out of it personally, but I don't have the, I don't have the same kind of hardline integrity that he does.
I don't know. I feel like referencing something, no matter what, how you do it or in what medium, I feel like just merely referencing something should be fair game. I think that that is,
yeah,
is really important.
You know, I think you're right about that one. And I would definitely, this would be a group choice if someone did it to our media. And even if uh-huh. someone did it to my media, I would involve you in the process or ask your opinion yeah. and consider yeah. it heavily. Yeah, I don't think I would have gone after that, and I really don't think I would have gone after VH1 for using footage of me saying I'm one of the top 100 bands of all times. The one
yeah,
thing
I
mentioned,
I would have
though,
like, I would have, you know, recorded that segment and put it up on my YouTube channel or something, and promoted it myself, and be
someone
like,
else
look,
would,
this is a credit for me.
100 people would be doing that for you, and it's better to let them do it than you do it.
Well, yeah. That too, yeah. that too. But the point is, it's nothing but an honorific, something to put on your resume or your wiki page. You know, it does you such a great favor that I don't see why you would be upset with it.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I did talk about a lawyer letter here was if some major media company used some of my media or our media to denigrate what we're supporting in the media, and I didn't even get into like if they're
like
denigrate-
a hit piece.
Yeah, like if they took Guns and Weed and used it in a hit piece on Guns or Weed.
But we have a real life example of that. We have that Accuracy and Media piece that talked about the Guns and Weed movie.
Yeah, but he didn't really embedding a YouTube video is different, I think, than using it in a news package.
Okay, so you're saying somebody uses
really,
a piece of Guns and Weed as B-roll
yeah.
in a news package or something?
Yeah, because that embedding of the YouTube, they're pointing to our media. They're saying, look at this, which we've put up for anyone to look at. Whereas, you know, ABC or NBC taking it, using it uncredited with B-roll as B-roll to degrade what we're trying to support, I would have a problem with. Now, the thing I didn't mention in all this that I think you didn't catch was I said, you know, I'd send ABC or whoever a lawyer letter, have a lawyer write a letter to them, you know, saying, you need to stop airing this and pay us money, or one or the other. And I didn't say what I'd do if they said no. Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what would you do?
I'm not going to say. Because well, I wouldn't show my hands up front of what I would do. You know, if I say, yeah, I'd sue, I don't know that I would. And if I say, no, I wouldn't, then...
You don't know that if you wouldn't.
Well, and that lawyer letter would only be a suggestion then.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing that I feel, and I'm not sure what the situation would be, and we are talking in theoreticals here, but here's the way I felt about it when I did work at an ABC affiliate. In journalism school, you learn that if you're on public property and you can see something, now let's take
what
a step outside
of- What do you mean see
something?
See a road? See a sidewalk?
Anything.
Oh,
anything that you that the average
person could
film
from public property.
That you could film from public property. Right, right. And so this came up even before my news days, when I worked at a production company, we were doing a documentary for the Weather Channel, and we were shooting footage of a power plant. And this guy came out and started spouting off about how it was against the Patriot Act and we can't do this. But we're on public property. I mean, that comes first. Anybody can see this. How is it illegal to show the public what any of them could just drive
well,
5 minutes and see?
The Patriot Act is bizarro world law put into writing.
It is. It is. But my point is that it seems like even outside of governments writing this down, it seems like a common law thing that if you can view something in public, if anybody in the world can go stand in that spot where you filmed it and see the same thing, it's fair game to show that to the rest of the world because it's in public, because anybody could see it, right? You're not delegating any powers that don't exist to the general public.
Well, the weed footage in that, you wouldn't be able to do that because it was filmed in the back room of a business.
But anybody can see it on YouTube. See, YouTube, to me, digitally, is like that public space because anybody in the world could go see that same footage if they just typed in Guns and Weed trailer or okay. Guns and Weed Part 1 on YouTube.
So people are going to hear this and say, Michael's a theorist, Dima's a real anarchist. Hang on a sec, let's go sell some stuff and then come back.
Okay.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio, streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. Call in soon before they get droned.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
So, yeah. Copyright dumb. I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel a little square with my reaction now of, yes, I would sue ABC for that. I don't know, though. Somebody said, basically asked me, is there any case, you know, if you're just putting Creative Commons up as a suggestion, is there any case where you'd actually do it? You know, and there's something I didn't say that I went on to here to say, you know, a lawyer letter or courts are different than the police. There are very few situations I could see calling the police. One I can think of is if my house is broken into while I'm gone, a bunch of shit is taken, and my mm-hmm. security cameras caught it, I would call the police and file. I would go to the police station and file a police report and probably give them a DVD of the images, because I would have to do that in order to collect my insurance money. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And because they have a monopoly on it. Yeah. Just the way that, you know, I've got a friend who actually had his house burglarized recently, and the idiot who stole all his stuff took it to pawn shops and sold it. And lucky for him, actually, you know, the police do have a monopoly. He called the police. One of the things that the police have used their monopoly for is they have all the pawn shops are on a database. So they can just type in the serial number of something or whatever. And they actually – the pawn shops take a picture. They copy your ID, you know, with your photo ID, and then they can know who sold this stolen good to the pawn shop. I mean, that doesn't solve the case because you don't know if he got it secondhand.
Did he get his stuff back?
He's thinking he will. It's still – ongoing, but he is thinking he will. Yeah, man. I mean, I try to live by that rule. Don't ever call the police, but because they do have a monopoly, sometimes there might be a situation where I would break that rule. I'm not sure. I would have to take each decision on a case by case basis.
If you shot somebody in self-defense and your plan wasn't to leave and hope you never get caught, you'd pretty much have to call the police to help keep you from going to prison
as a self-defense, because otherwise the police are going to consider that you did something shady with them.
Yep.
And you know, I waffle back on and forth on that too. I think anybody, which is one of the reasons why I think carrying a gun can actually make you a more peaceful person, because you actually play through these scenarios in your head because you feel like you have to.
Yeah, like
when,
if somebody
carries
a
gun on your hip on a regular basis, you know, you're always thinking, well, what would happen if I did have to do something?
If I'm not carrying a gun, before I was carrying a gun, you know, if somebody on the street walked by me and said, "Hey, you fucking faggot," or, you know, called my wife a whore or something, I'd probably stop and be like, "What'd you say?" But literally, if that happened to me now while I'm carrying a gun, I'd probably keep going. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know that my wife would. she's the one that like walks up to people and says, "You're a welfare bum," you know, mm-hmm, and gets in their face.
Yeah. Well, I used to be horrible about road rage before I owned a gun. I used to, you know, wave my baseball bat and my knife at people and yell at them. And this is, I was a lot younger. I was a teenager and really stupid. But I used to get really violent on the road, thinking, yeah, I'll cut a fool. Now, when the stakes are life and death, you know, and I have a gun with me, I'm much more calm. I don't get road rage.
My friend actually used a kind of smart threat of the state to save himself at one time when that happened. He was walking across the street in San Francisco, my friend Bean, and he was jaywalking, and some dude almost hit him, and he just like the guy mad dogged him, and Bean just looked at him and flipped him off, you know, with his you look. He's the guy that originated that in the AA meeting. So you know, he just flipped the guy off and just looked him dead in the eye as he walked by. And the guy pulled a gun out from under his seat and was like holding it, you know, not so everybody around could see it, but kind of like down at his side. Uh-huh. And Bean, who, you know, back in the day had spent a lot of time in jail, never in prison, but, you know, in jail for petty crap with drugs, you know, and he looked at the guy and he could tell that the guy had been to jail. And he goes, "You must really like the taste of jail food, man." And the guy, like, the guy got back in his car swearing and took off.
Wow. Wow. Okay, that's funny.
That is funny.
But, yeah, man, I would ever call the police for help in most situations, but, you know, I feel like there could be some situations where you have to set aside theory and do what's in your best interest. 'Cause in the end, that's all anybody can do is do what's in their best interest. It's just as somebody who's a little bit more well versed in these kinds of things, I know it's not in my best interest to call the cops if I'm having some sort of personal problem, or my son's having, if I had a son and my son had a mental breakdown, I wouldn't call the police because they might tase him to death. I don't call the cops to solve my problems, but if I had to call the cops, as in I was in a self-defense situation and I worried about how the judge would see it if I didn't call the cops, I might call 911 and say, "Hey, there's a person here that needs an ambulance," and wait for the ambulance to come or something like that. You know,
I read a book written by a lawyer who said that the smarter thing to do in that situation is have a sympathetic family member call the cops.
Yeah, that might work.
Because that tape, if you go to court, that tape is going to get played as evidence, and your words
and
will be
used against
you. And the prosecution
will pick apart every word you said. If you
sounded,
misspeak.
You sounded too calm, or you sounded too whatever, or,
that's,
you know,
true.
If you described yourself and the guy you shot so the police would know you're the homeowner, if you said, "Yeah, I'm the white guy, he's the black guy," you know, they take that out of context, or... I can think of a situation where I would not call the cops where most people would. If somebody broke into my house that was a minor, you know, that like lived with parents nearby and my security camera footage, I'm like, "Oh, that's that kid." You know, if they came in and they took something when I wasn't here, I would probably go to the parents before I would go to the police.
I would too.
I'd say, "Look, here's printouts of your son stealing my crap. I want it back. You know, I'm going to go back in my house. If it's back on my porch in 5 minutes, I'll forget about it."
I'd probably give more time than 5 minutes. Parents don't have that kind of tyrannical control over their teenagers. You know, they might have to search his room or something, or maybe he sold it to the pawn shop and the parents need to write you a check and figure out how much it cost. 5 minutes is kind of a bit of an ultimatum.
I don't know. I think I'd say, "I want to hear back about what you're going to do in five minutes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
If the kid's home, you know.
Right. Right.
And Wyoming, people are bred differently here. I mean, like, young dudes open doors for old ladies here. You know, I really think there is, I don't know if better parenting, but more parenting here in a way, mm-hmm. to where I think in California or Austin, LA or Austin, if you did that, they'd be like, F you, man, my son wouldn't do that. Where here, they'd be like, I'll talk to him, you know?
I don't know.
I'll fix it.
Texas is kind of good about that. I feel like people some in Texas and maybe in the South have
but
sort
not
of
Austin.
Hospitality about it.
Not
them.
Austin.
Why not Austin, man?
Because Austin is the San Francisco of Texas, man.
Some parts of it are, but it's still Texas. I mean, yeah, our city council is ridiculous, but again, you have to separate the state apparatus from the actual people in it.
It's Sodom by the Gulf, man. It's not even by the Gulf. I know.
I don't know, man. It's still the hill country, and people are still good. You know, there's some really ridiculous liberal crap, but there's some good freedom fighters here too.
We were talking about that movie Ray. I have a story about the director of that movie, whose name is Taylor Hackford, who directed. God, is it Officer and a Gentleman? Yeah, it's the Richard Gere movie. He directed that. He also directed a movie called Hey Hey Rock and Roll, which is about Chuck Berry, who we have heard likes to poo on young girls, but we don't know if it's true.
Really? I don't remember hearing that.
I love podcasting with you because if I tell you something more than 3 months ago, you're hearing it again for the first time. We talked about this at length.
We talked about Chuck Berry fecalating on young girls.
Yeah. And maybe like pretending to with a plate of glass between him and her, and that sex act is called a plate job. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, but we were just joking. Was there any evidence of this? Or I thought we were just making fun of people like we always make fun of people.
No, that's an urban myth. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's...
Oh, okay.
Type it on the internet right now. Just type Berry plate job.
I thought maybe you had some kind of evidence.
No, that's not my story.
New to it.
While you look that up, I'll tell my Taylor Hackford story. Okay, Taylor Hackford is like, you know, a lot of the people that run Hollywood, you've never heard of. Like, you know, everyone who knows who Tom Cruise is, but like the guy you really want to be is Tom Cruise's boss or the head of the studio or the director. You know, it's like no one knows who Taylor Hackford is, but he's got more power than a lot of movie stars. Including that he was the head of the Directors Guild, which is like, you know, the god of Hollywood kind of thing. When we showed, we had a premiere for the movie Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow that I directed with my friend Kenny. We had a premiere for that at the Egyptian Theater, which is literally the theater where premieres began in the 30s. It's the one where they would have, you know, the limos and the Klieg lights up to the sky and the red carpet. That was invented at the Egyptian Theater. And they're still a theater. They're still really, I'm just saying I'm really cool because I had a premiere there, basically. So it was a really cool, we had two nights there and it was packed out. It's a big theater. It's really respectable. It got written up in Variety magazine, blah, blah, woof, woof. So we're showing it there. The second night we showed it, Taylor Hackford comes in. Like we came in and basically kind of did a sound check. Like we had the movie on beta, which is better than playing it from a DVD. We had it on a Digibeta, and we rented a Digibeta player and hooked it up, and the projectionist like ran through it. We tuned the projector, tuned the audio, everything till it was beautiful. Taylor, that was about 6 p.m. We were done. Taylor Hackford comes in at 6:15, just walks in there, and he's like, I am Taylor Hackford. I need the theater. And we're like, we have a showing tonight. And he's like, what time? I'm like, 9. He's like, I'll be done by then. Because he had booked the place for the following night on like no notice, which is impossible unless you're Taylor Hackford. So he was going to show, he was having like a presentation and he was going to show unreleased scenes from his movie Hail Hail Rock and Roll. Basically his home movies, you know, so of Chuck Berry. So so he takes over the projection booth and like undoes everything we did in our sound check until like the theater was full. And then he like people were in the lobby waiting to get in late. And then he left and they, you know, shuffled the people in the theater that were waiting in the lobby and waiting out front, started, you know, gave our little introduction, started the movie, and it was totally out of focus because Taylor Hackford had messed it up. And the projectionist is like it was, I don't know if it was a union rule or what, but he's like, I can't adjust it once it started. It's a rule.
What?
And we argued with him till we were blue in the face. Like people in the theater heard me and the other guy screaming at him up in the booth. And I'm thinking like I had just gotten back, you know, a year earlier. Like I just finished my third tour with DIY or Die, showing in all these everything from like basements to theaters to like really nice theaters. And if that had happened at any of them, I would have walked up to the projectionist and said, okay, where's the knob? I'll turn it until it's, you know. So the second night we showed it, it was really blurry. It sucked. And Taylor Hackford is the reason. I'll never work in Hollywood again from that story, but I never will anyway.
Wow. Yeah, that's ridiculous, man.
If I lived in Hollywood, I'd probably, you know, some union thugs would come over and eat my face or something. But since I'm in Wyoming, unions barely exist here. You ever notice when like people try to unionize here? Like I saw people in front of one of the drugstores, the one out on CY. What's that drugstore?
There's a few drugstores.
Anyway, it was like some chain drugstore, and there were people boycotting and like, you know, we must unionize out front. And like anywhere else I've been, like everyone beeps in solidarity and waves at them and stuff. Everyone was just ignoring them and mad dogging them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know if we talked about Chuck Berry like this, man. You might
have
been
finding?
That might have been a fill-in when you think it's me, but it was somebody else.
Oh, I thought you meant a fill-in like in passing. No, I found it is absolutely. Go ahead and read what you found though, and I'll search the show notes.
Yeah. No, apparently he had a sex tape that got him into trouble and into Spy magazine. I don't know how true it is, but apparently, there was a video that shows a naked blonde woman and Chuck Berry. The woman gets down on her knees, and Chuck proceeds to piss on her while saying things like, "Yeah, you like that, don't you? You like when I piss on your face? Open your mouth, drink my piss. Yeah, drink it all up." And when Chuck is finished, he says, "Kiss me, baby. No, you smell like piss. Go wash yourself off." Then Chuck adjusts the camera. Another woman comes, lies down on the floor, straddles his face, and Chuck says, "Time for my breakfast." And apparently the woman does number two on Chuck's face and mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google that in the show notes. I'm pretty sure I would have remembered Chuck Berry eating a poo breakfast. You must have been talking
about it. Yeah, you know, it's not in the show notes. Casting. It's really not.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So this is. Man, I'm paid. I got it made. Take me to your special place. Close your eyes. Show me your face. I'm gonna piss on it. Of course. I don't even know. None of the
above. I want to piss on it. Yep. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle there doing his R. Kelly impersonation.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah,
Was the Chuck Berry thing before the R. Kelly thing?
Oh, like 10 years before, 20 years before. Chuck Berry paved the way for R. Kelly to piss on
R. Kelly was just trying to emulate a hero of his or something.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way that Ray Charles paved the way for every black entertainer, musician ever, you know, Chuck Berry paved the way for pissing on young girls.
Apparently. Yeah, and in Urban Dictionary, there's the Chuck Berry breakfast. Similar to Dingleberry's stew, the Chuck Berry breakfast consists of human feces slathered in pancake syrup and butter.
Stop! I'm stopping recording. But I will say that I'll never use the word nanners again, because that thing on the internet, Urban Dictionary, look up
that
nanners.
That thing on the internet.
Yeah, I call bananas nanners, but not anymore.
I told you it sounded funny. And
I didn't
want to
go
right
here, man. I really didn't.
You brought up Chuck Berry and his Chuck Berry breakfast. Nanner, a small tag piece of poop that still hangs from your
stop,
butt after defecation.
You
told
man.
Me to read it.
Why would you do such a thing?
You told
Why?
Me to read it.
Why, man?
But hey, the definition that's actually voted up before that is...
I can't hear you. Sorry, go ahead. What?
You know, it's also on Urban Dictionary, that thing on the internet, as an awesome way of saying banana and a word used to describe a woman's pussy. So you calling your banana a nanner is
I'll pick
is
two
valid
and three then.
According
I'll pick
to
two
Urban
and three.
Dictionary.
Two and three. Yeah. Those are my yes, Chuck, I'd like number two and three for $200. Chuck Berry. Chuck Barris.
You like number two, don't you?
Yeah. I watched the movie Valkyrie today. You ever seen Valkyrie?
No, is that a clever way of changing the subject?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I've
Valkyrie.
Never seen
Valkyrie. It's a movie with that guy. What's his name? Tom. I said his
that
name.
That guy on the internet.
The guy
that
runs,
guy he is.
The guy that runs Hollywood. That's not a director. He's the actor. Tom Cruise. Yeah, it's his. It's a movie with him about a plot, an actual plot to kill Hitler. It's a pretty cool movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nope. Usually not into those World War II type movies.
You know, there's nothing on the Chuck Berry Wikipedia page about him pissing on young girls. What was the name of Spy Magazine? Nope.
Spy Magazine.
Well, what I want to check is the history of this article to see what edits Chuck Berry's people have removed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Chuck Berry, man. Well,
Chuck Berry. I'm going to do a Chuck Berry on you, baby.
Do you want to talk about it or not? You're giving me mixed signals here. Do we need to eliminate the Chuck Berry talk?
I just really wanted to put it in the context of connecting it to Taylor Hackford, even though there's not much connection. But he did make a movie.
Yeah, I don't even know how
he Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think you should read the lyrics to Jesus Was a Terrorist. Do you still have that up?
We already read a few of them.
They're relevant. No, we didn't. We read California Uber Ellis.
Okay. Jesus Was a Terrorist.
Yeah. Jello Biafra with No Means No, who are Canadian, and I've had a lot of Canadian connections lately for some reason. I think it's really cute when you search a song and one of the things that comes up is someone playing a cover of it, and it's like some 14-year-old kid in his room with a guitar. That's so cute.
You think it's cute? I think it's annoying.
It is annoying. Well, it's annoying if it's the first thing that comes up, but
that's
it wasn't.
True. Yeah.
I got to pee. Did you find lyrics yet? I got to go piss on someone.
Okay.
Did you find lyrics
on somebody?
Yet? Did you find lyrics?
You know, I closed the tab because I thought we were done with the Dead Kennedys. I'll just...
No, I was done with Chuck Berry peeing on people.
Yeah, but I thought we were done with Dead Kennedys way before that, and in return for that, we decided to talk about Chuck Berry and his various bodily functions. But, okay, no, I'll
I got
find
the lyrics.
It.
I got it right here. I'm pigeon.
Here we go. Here we
pigeon
go.
Pigeon trolling it to you. Okay, it's on the pigeon. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read the lyrics. Two, Jesus was a terrorist. Jesus was a terrorist, enemy of the state. That's what the Romans labeled him, so he was put to death. He died for his beliefs. What's changed today? Today, Bible-thumping cannibals reap money from his name, buy cable networks and power with old ladies' checks. If Jesus saw Pat Robertson, what do you think he'd say? Tax-free, then rewrite our laws and sick 'em on you. Women don't control their bodies. TV preachers do. Censor everything from bathing suits to science books, from the schoolroom to the bedroom. They want our thoughts, or else. They treat us like the Romans used to treat the Christians. Even some church-going folks are scared. Modern catacombs of fear, built with money, power, and threats.
Wait. That's going to be a copyright violation. You can't read this. We'll get shut down by ICE. Okay, just read the last one. I like this line. Is freedom of speech such a terrorist act? Is spiritual peace such a satanic threat? Believe what you want, but we'll fight to keep our heads from being cemented in your sand. You read the line about rock and roll, huh?
No.
Rock and roll is labeled porn. Sell a record, you're under arrest.
I was about to read it, and then he told me we would get copyright infringement charges.
No, we didn't read all of it.
Because you kind of know Jello Biafra, so you always said Dead Kennedys were fair game.
I don't know, man, because I tried to call him a bunch of times, and he never returns my calls anymore.
Yeah.
He probably heard I have guns and live in Wyoming and thinks I'm Rambo now, some Rambo patriot or something.
Why all the hate for gun owners, man? Did you see this? Gawker wrote a story.
Gawker.
Yeah, they wrote a story. The headline is Nobody Rushing to Move into University of Colorado's quote-unquote gun dorms.
Really?
As we talked about on the cast before, how University of Colorado at Colorado Springs in Boulder have decided to segregate. Yes, they believe in segregation. They've decided to segregate people who understand self-defense and poor little pussies, mama's boys and girls that want to be raped and murdered without shooting somebody. They've decided to separate those people, but apparently everybody's a pussy at University of Colorado or just haven't heard the law because zero students have decided to live in the
Or they're smart and the don't want to be in the we're going to take away your guns in a few years dorm.
maybe that's
maybe
it.
They're just quietly keeping their guns in the other dorms. That's what I think the smart thing to do would be.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do. I mean, also moving is annoying. I mean, why feel like you have to move just because you got a gun?
Yeah, and you might have friends who are in the other dorm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The state just wants to always centrally plan everything instead of letting people create their own communities. God, I feel square even saying that. I mean, it's not square. Just like, hang on, we got to go sell some blurg.
All right.
Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the Freedom Fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The Freedom Fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. FreedomFiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of FreedomFiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Okay, we're rolling. You don't get the hatred toward gun owners?
I don't get the hatred toward... I've never felt that way.
People always need an other.
I know they do. But why that other? Especially because I feel like the people who hate gun owners, even the young liberal kids, they love guns in their media. They probably love to play Call of Duty or Black Ops or whatever.
You know,
they love their video game characters to have guns. They love their movie characters to have guns.
I just remembered something. When I was a kid, instead of video games with guns, we played cops and robbers, and we played cowboys and Indians with fake guns. Toy guns that actually looked like real guns. I always played the Indian or the robber, never the cop or the cowboy.
You're anti-statist even back then.
Maybe, because it was like, I don't know, it was like the kids who always jumped to want to be the cowboy or especially the cop were like the kids that, they were my friends, but they kind of bullied me or tried to push me around or whatever, or they just weren't like people I felt like calm to just let it all hang out with. They were the friends that, like, when no one else around, I'd play with them, but yeah.
I kind of feel like that's sort of the root for becoming an anarchist or a libertarian, is that feeling uneasy about what society portrays as the good guy. Jay-Z has a line in his first album when I think he says, I'll tell you half the story, the rest you're filling in, as long as the villain win. And I think, you know, what you have to do to mature and progress is then to be like, oh, well, the reason you feel that way is because the cops are in reality the villains. You don't take it the other direction and say, oh, well, if you rob and steal, that's a good thing. No, you say the cops rob and steal, and that's a bad thing.
Did you know for a long time in America it was illegal to make a movie where crime paid?
Really? No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't know
illegal
if illegal
or
like impossible in Hollywood, basically, because of laws, because of the code. They called it the code.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's not really a state law. That's more of an industry law. But I bet there was state.
Oh,
force
no. Congress.
Backing it up
as, Congress said we need this. And, you know,
Congress was basically to the industry that you must do these things or else we will do it for you. So Congress didn't want to have their hands dirty.
The Motion Picture Production Code from 1930 to 1968, also known as the Hays Code, after Hollywood's chief censor, Will H. Hays. I think he had something to do with the drug war, as I remember. And I know he did with pornography being illegal. Like, he made
the way
illegal.
I remember it is the industry got together and did all this sort of code and self-regulation because they were fearful that the state would step in if the industry didn't do it themselves. But I think what they ended up getting out of that was code that was very influenced by what the state would have outlawed anyway.
Right, right. John, I'm reading about enforcement. It was horizontal enforcement, it seems like. It was, we're going to pass laws if the industry doesn't take care of this.
Right, right, right. And now it's I feel like it's more of a carrot than a stick in a lot of ways, because now a lot of it is the Pentagon and the Defense Department giving you all sorts of goodies and consulting and tanks and planes to put in your summer blockbuster, as long as you make them look like they're the good guys. And
does crime ever pay?
Like the bad guys.
Does crime ever pay in major motion pictures? I mean, I'm thinking of stuff like, okay, Ocean's 11, which is a remake of a movie made probably during the code or shortly after. I mean, does he get away scot-free with all the money and the girl, or does he lose something?
You're the one that watches all the movies, man. I don't really know.
All the movies.
Must watch all the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch that many of them.
Yeah. Did you watch any more episodes of Hell on Wheels?
No, I actually didn't. I'm still on... the next episode I have to watch is episode 7. Where I'm at now, the fair-haired maiden of the West has just decided to give the maps with the route through the Rockies to the railroad baron. And so I haven't gotten any further than that.
Yeah. I can't tell if he gets away with the money reading the description of Ocean's 11, but he serves 6 months in jail for a parole violation and gets the girl. I don't know if they have the money. That's the remake, and the original was in, let's see, 1960. Isn't that the end of the code? Didn't I say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well. In Hunger Games.
Oh, in the original, someone's body is cremated and accidentally all the money along with it.
Ah, okay. So the crime doesn't pay.
Doesn't pay.
In Hunger Games, at least the book series, which they're turning into movies, the rebellion wins. The anti-state forces defeat the state, the giant overbearing state. And in the first movie, you know, they didn't change the ending. The girl... the girl has it to where she doesn't have to kill her love interest, who is also a player in the game. They both threaten to commit suicide, and since the state has to have a winner for this blood fest, they capitulate, and so she technically wins against the state in that. And
it seems
ideally will win in the last movie once it's made.
It seems like a lot of Hollywood movies. Crime pays for a while, but it doesn't. And it seems maybe more like, you know, we're not under pressure to do this, but more like they think that's what people want. I mean, I'm thinking of Requiem for a Dream, which is an unusual movie for Hollywood, but it still follows some of the normal plot kind of points. And it's like,
yeah,
I mean, the first third of that movie makes you want to go out and try heroin if you've never tried it. I mean, it's like young, sexy Jennifer Connelly and Jared Leto living a carefree, wonderful life, skipping on the boardwalk and in love and making money. And it's working. And at the end of it, you know, he's having his arm sawed off. She's ass to ass with a bunch of men looking. Mom's in a mental hospital and the black dude's in jail. You know, black dude. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Tyrone is in jail.
In mainstream rap music, crime pays.
There you go.
And that, I mean, that's really mainstream now. So that's
like
good
what?
Thing.
Who's mainstream? Like million record seller plus?
I don't know. Eminem. I guess. Well,
does his crime pay?
Nah, his crime doesn't really pay.
He's gotten real serious and introspective.
His crime was always more beating women. You don't really want his crime to pay.
yeah, true.
Jay-Z's crime paid, especially in his early days. The whole thing was, well, I guess kind of it didn't. It paid in a way.
Isn't that the thing in rap? You sell crack until you can get your demo tape out, and then you get signed, and then you go legit.
Right. Right.
Although,
right.
Don't you say...
So that's
you
sort
say,
of the Jay-Z narrative.
What's the new thing that's coming up, the recession angle on that, of back to...
Well, that hasn't just been a recession angle. That's been a while. I think even maybe even Tupac said that, but that's always been a meme. Pimp C used to say it too. You know, if records don't sell, back to moving bricks, pretty much. You know, back to selling crack if the records don't sell. So.
Yeah, but that's a meme. I mean, that's more than in more than one rapper's raps, right?
Yeah, that's a thing. Slim Thug does do a recession angle to it. Well, he's got a song about how he's addicted to getting money, and he says he might have to go back to the block, or he's got a bunch of other hustles, so if his records don't sell, it's not that big a deal, kind of a thing. So
yeah,
I just the thing I feel like I'm missing in rap right now that I really love to see, and I've said this before, is and I guess Lil Wayne kind of did it a little bit, but I want a whole song about how ridiculous it was for Lil Wayne to go to jail for guns and weed. I want a whole song about that, because he still raps about having a gun, and he still raps about smoking weed, and he raps about being in jail and how much it sucks. Why don't you rap about how illegitimate it was for you to go to jail?
I want some well-known rapper to do a song dissing T.I. for rolling.
Yeah.
And dissing Snoop Lion. But we don't really know his take on it yet. Probably because he's friggin' irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, Snoop Lion, we don't really know yet. He hasn't come out with it. So we just can't really hate until it actually exists.
He's announced his I've Given Up Gun song, but hasn't put it out. So we don't know if it's... and, you know, when you search it, it's just kids in their room speculating on what it is, which is very annoying.
Yeah, or kids rapping badly and saying that it's the Snoop Lion song, which is even more annoying.
San Francisco lawmakers did ban public nudity. We talked
about
them. Yeah, it's damn.
I would say bummer, but I guess you won't see any.
This friend of mine told me that he said that I had this neighbor, the Salvadorian single mother neighbor in San Francisco, who had two kids. It was like a 11 or 10-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy, and she was like, hey, I got to go to work for the day. What are you doing? Can you babysit? I'll cook you dinner later. And I'm like, sure. I was going to go down to the Folsom Street Fair, which is a gay pride parade, which is different than the gay pride parade on Market Street, which has a little nudity, but it's real kind of more respectful. The Folsom Street Fair is like men raping each other over garbage cans in the street while one of them vomits, you know? I mean, it's yikes. Dirty. And she told me to take her kids with me. I'm like, okay, man. And I remember this kid, like, you know, the little girl understood it, and I would never do this again, but it was like the mother told me to, and she had to go to work. So I'm like, and the boy was just like looking up like eye level at bums in chaps, and then like looking at his hands, and then looking up and like confused.
Wow.
Should I take that out? I don't know, man.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. I don't know. Leave it. I don't care. Right. Go down to me.
Okay, there. I can edit that in.
Whatever, dude. So... are people going to fight this nudity law thing? What do you think is going to happen next? And how do you think this is going to hit the city? I guess what I hope to have come out of it is...
a bunch of anarchists?
Yes, I always want that. We always talk about that. The more freedoms that get taken away, hopefully the more people will realize what the state really is.
No, man. When babies are born anywhere in the country and the doctor slaps them and the baby doesn't cry, but just looks up reverentially, like, oh, I have a master in this new world. I will obey. The doctor or the midwife holds the babies up by his ankle and says, the statism is strong in this one. And they ship you off to San Francisco.
Okay, fair enough. So
yeah.
No hope for that. It's a lost cause
in San Francisco. Or if they slap the baby on the bum and he goes, ooh, they ship him off to San Francisco anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Myth the slave.
Jesus Christ with a terrorist.
Are we talking about baby sex on the podcast? I don't think so.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore, man. At least it's not Barbies, though.
Barbies, that's what we're talking about. Wyoming Barbies. I could imagine the San Francisco Barbies. They'd all be Kens. No, they'd be Barbies.
They'd be anatomically correct Kens.
They'd be but the Barbies would be like angry feminist Barbies. They'd be like really sexy with big boobs, and they'd have a t-shirt on that says, yeah, stop staring at my boobs.
So annoying. So annoying. Don't advertise them if you don't want us to look.
Yeah.
There's things called sports bras and sweatshirts.
Moo-moos.
Moo-moos.
Moo. Yeah. Speaking of beef.
Yeah, beef. Oh. You got beef? You
well, got beef? Somebody took me to task for, like, outing Stefan Molyneux in the last thing. Somebody sent me an IM about that. And I won't go into the details, but, you know, basically he was just saying, like, oh, you just want to beef with people. And it's like, no. Every beef I've had is pretty much the only time I go mano a mano with anybody in the Liberty Mission is people who I feel are doing something that's harming the Liberty Mission. You know, Adam Kokesh and Stefan Molyneux on Kink, and then on this other thing of, like, not maybe really believing everything he says. Mark Stevens on Bad Legal Advice. You know, anybody else that I've pod beef with is just kidding around and just in passing. But people I've really, like, said, okay, this is how it is, and this is what I think, and this is wrong. It's like, I'm trying to improve the Liberty Mission, man. And not that I have all the answers, and not that I'm doing it right and everyone else is doing it wrong, but it's like, you know, if you see a hole in your neighbor's fence, you tell them before the cows get out. And if you see somebody acting the fool while being, while there are a lot of people going, yes, every word you say is gospel, I got to speak up on it. So that's just my thing about beefs.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. And I think, you know, I made a point after Michael that I don't feel like what you had brought up discredits the body of work of Molyneux at all. If you do, Michael, that's your own opinion, but I don't think it does. You know, it's okay to know about things like this and take it either with a grain of salt or even if you do believe it 100% to say, hey, well, Molyneux might be bad on one thing, but who's 100% good on everything? I mean, no, even
me.
Rothbard is not perfect. Even
me.
Mises is not perfect. Are you? Not even you are. You know you're not perfect, Michael. Because if you
I'm
were,
looking in my wrist and I don't see holes, as my mother
if
would
you
say,
were,
so guess
yeah.
not.
If you were, you would never change your opinion. But if you listen to the cast, you notice that we are constantly coming up with ideas and then changing them later because the Liberty Mission. It moves forward and it adapts and it changes and it gets better. And the way it does that is by reevaluating things it said that might be wrong.
That's our motto of the Liberty Mission is forward. That's what the team would say.
Yeah. Or even reevaluating things and thinking that they're and deciding that they're right. But you constantly have to self-introspect both into our own statements. And I think it's fair to do that into the statements of others. In the Liberty Movement, in the Liberty Mission, and elsewhere. That's kind of the whole point.
All right. So late breaking last minute news here. I just sent you a link. The UN to seek control of the internet.
Oh, my God. I guess that's kind of obvious, though, right? I mean, I feel like obviously they would. The U.S. has already been seeking it. And
I like that they're meeting in Dubai. It's like I can't even find Dubai on a map, and something happening there could vastly change my life.
You can find it on a map. It's in the Gulf. It's just so
I know
tiny.
I know having the internet rewired by bureaucrats would be like having a handing a Stradivarius to a gorilla. I like that.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Hopefully people don't stand for this, and hopefully the fact that people won't stand for it helps to discredit the UN. Let's see.
Well,
let's,
I think if they really take the internet, there will be a bunch of new anarchists, but they won't know it because they won't be able to talk to anybody else, which is probably the plan. But, you know, that's why everybody should get encryption right now and go onto darknet stuff and research it and get VPNs and be breeding pigeons to send messages with and downloading and torrenting all the fiends because torrents don't rely on central servers. And if there is any internet, it'll work even if websites are shut down. It'll work slow and poorly, but it'll work.
Yeah, and then people will work to make it better and keep coming up with workarounds. I have little faith in the state actually getting control of the internet and keeping it from us for any extended period of time. I don't think they're quick enough. I think that that's the beauty of the internet as a tool for freedom, for markets, and for liberty, is things on the internet move faster than any central planner could ever hope to, or any bureaucracy or human organization could hope to. They're just not it's a physical law, almost the natural law, that the goons aren't fast enough to keep up with the internet
worms. The only way they could really shut down the internet and it wouldn't be permanent would be to turn off the power.
Right
That's pretty scary too.
And if shut down everything,
if that happened, people'd start shooting
the baby with the
bath water. Start shooting, man. They would turn it into the chaos which they describe as anarchy, literally.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd say, look at this chaos. You need us to come in. Now please hand over your internets to us. All your hard drives are belong to us, kind of a thing.
I posted something on Facebook recently that got, I think, more likes than anything I've ever posted. Let me see if I can find it here. It was about not liking to deal. Okay, here it is. I don't mind people using fake names on the internet, but I really hate it when people on here have no actual photos of themselves. I like to put a face with a name and the words to the words y'all say, no matter what you look like. Without that, I feel like I'm typing to a ghost. If you're not putting a picture of yourself up because you're afraid the government will know what you have to say, you're either delusional or uninformed. The government already knows who you are and what you're typing. If you're doing it because you're afraid of your real-life friends knowing what you think and say, you need new real-life friends. And this got 86 likes and a bunch of shares. So people did have some interesting reasons why they didn't do it. One was girls who'd been stalked, which I can understand. But most of the people that do that are my friends are guys. And then this lady started posting on there and was talking about like spirits and auras. And I finally blocked her after she took over the thread and I ignored it and just let it go. And then she like,
Does she religiously not believe in having her photo taken like some Indians do?
It was so crazy, man. I don't know what to say about it. But the thing that made me block her was she wrote me and said, why aren't you still paying attention to my thread? I'm posting things on there and you need to see them. And I'm like, gone.
Wow.
I don't even know her. She's one of my friends, so-called. I hate the way that Facebook has ruined the word friend, literally, you know? I mean, I have 2,000-some friends on there, and like 8 of them are really my friends.
Well, all you have to do to solve that problem is
Facebook friends.
Call it what it is, Facebook friends.
I don't even like that, though, man. That's like saying free market, you know? It's the market. Okay, and I guess the market has spoken because I'm on Facebook and I have 2,186 friends on there. But yeah, I don't like talking with people, especially debating with people that don't have a real name and don't have a real picture. It's like, pfft, F you.
Yeah. So put a damn picture up.
You got any redemption in the third act, man?
Redemption in the third act?
F the UN.
I don't know how we redeem this. I did go to Facebook, and there's a funny joke on it by Walter Block. Maybe that's a redemption. It's a funny thing that Walter Block said.
Someone in Belgium is downloading all of our stuff on torrents, which they should be. That's good.
Okay. Here's the Walter Block joke. Late one night in Washington, D.C., a mugger wearing a ski mask jumped into the path of a well-dressed man and stuck a gun in his ribs. Give me your money, he demanded, indignant. The affluent man replied, you can't do this. I'm a United States congressman. In that case, replied the robber, give me my money.
Okay, now we're going to get droned because you told a joke about someone putting a gun to a congressman.
I attribute it to Walter Block, so Walter Block will get gooned, not me.
Yeah. All right.
Good times.
Good times, man. Have a good wedding anniversary tomorrow. I may release this today, Monday, 11/26/2012, or I may release it tomorrow. I don't know. It depends how bored I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess everyone's going to know I'm bored because it'll be up tonight. All right. Cool, right, man. Worms.
Peace.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. stress out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.